Good morning. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Thanksgiving is an awesome time. An awesome time to gather with family and friends and to sit around a table with tons of food and to be able to look back and thank God for different things in our lives. Okay? And I know in the last several days, we ate too much. Don't give me that look. I know you did. Because I did. I don't think it was just me that went back for seconds. And then, you know, the next day, you know, what's still left in here? Come on, man. And so let's just get out of the way right now. Let's just go to God and ask for forgiveness for the gluttony. Father, forgive us for eating too much the last several days, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now we got that out of the way. But it's awesome to be with friends and family and just be able to give thanks to God. Last week, I started to talk about how God is good. And in the matter of speaking, I want to continue from where I left off last week. And we will be back at for our midweek service on Thursday, amen. And so we'll be back on Thursday night for our midweek service. We didn't have midweek this week because of Thanksgiving. But that's okay. That's good. One of the things I'm very thankful for as a Christian, and I hope you are too, we just finished talking about Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross and how you and I need to be thankful for that, not just during Thanksgiving, not just when we receive communion, but really every single day, that Jesus decided to take our place on the cross. And because of that, one day, you and I will get an incredible opportunity to spend our eternity with God Almighty. Amen? Amen? And that ought to keep us going every single day. Right after that, in my view, another thing we got to be very thankful for is for this book you and I call the Bible. Amen. Because you and I, without this book, we're in serious trouble. Can I get an amen? Amen? The food couldn't have settled that much into your stomach. Amen? Sure. And so I need us to get back into our mode. Amen. All right? You guys, well, okay, we didn't have the band this morning, but that's okay. We got several people out of town, but we still sang and worshiped God. Amen? Amen? And so, you know, Thanksgiving is done, and let's get back into things. Amen. Okay, you guys just seem a little quiet this morning. Okay? Are we together? Yeah. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Being grateful for the word. That's the title of my lesson this morning. Being grateful for the word. In the book of Matthew and also in Luke, we find Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in the account in Matthew, Jesus is wrapping things up. And in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Jesus gives us a stern warning here towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's basically saying, you know what? We just can't say the right things and think, oh, because of that, we're going to be able to spend eternity with God. He says, you know what? At the end, there are going to be many people who will say, hey, Lord, we used to say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus would look at you. And Jesus would look at me. And say, you know what? I never knew you. I don't know about you. These are very scary verses to read. But we got to examine these things. Because it doesn't just say a few people. It says many. I don't know how many is. But all I know is you and I don't want to be included in the many. Okay? This is one majority you don't want to be a part of. You see, lip service is easy. It's easy to say, you know what, I'm a Christian. But like Alan began to say even this morning, the question is, are you a Christian at home? Are you a Christian at work? Are you a Christian everywhere you go based on what the scriptures say? Or are you just somebody who's religious and comes to church and does not do and is not doing the will of God? It's no accident that Jesus wraps up the Sermon on the Mount like this. Because remember, he's talked about, you know, having bitterness and murder in your heart. Malice towards people. He's talked about adultery and looking at somebody lustfully. He's talking about praying. He's talked about giving to the needy. And he wraps it all up by saying, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. He says, by their fruit you will recognize them. I don't know if I shared this before, but I shared it again. Several months ago, I'm just flipping through the channels, and I saw this reality show. There are a lot of reality shows out there, okay? And I saw this one. It was about ministers. And they had all these guys, you know, with their wives, you know, posing. And they had actually another guy in there who was supposed to be a pastor with his girlfriend. And, you know, the cameras were following them around. And I just sat there watching and going, I cannot believe this. I thought to myself, what has America come to? And these guys are out there with their flashy cars and all this stuff. And, you know, even the one that's, quote-unquote, the single pastor, you know, they showed an episode where his fiancé was told to move out. They were living together. They're about to get married. They're living in the same house together. And they had this, quote-unquote, first lady's lunch. And one of the older women was looking at her and said, you know what? Hey, you're living in sin. This is not right. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, come on, preach it. But this is what is going on. People saying they're Christians, but they're not living their lives according to what the Bible teaches. Even ministers. You see, it's not what we say. It's the way we're living. You see, the passage talks about two kinds of builders. Obviously, the houses represent our lives. Each of us is building a life. That's the reality. A life that will need to respond to many ups and downs before it's over. That's just life. If you think everybody has it easy, if you think everybody has it smooth and nobody has challenges, I don't know what planet you're living on. Every single person you see has struggles. Every single person you see has their challenges. I have my challenges. You have yours. The question is, are you going to allow God to help you? Or are you going to try and do this thing and figure it out by your own power? I can promise you, if you do it by your own power, you're going to lose every time. You are not going to be a happy person. You're going to be very miserable. Because God is there to help you. That's why he gave us his word. Are you listening to me? But see, we've got to allow him to help us. What are these storms, you say? You know, in the passage, he talks about how the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind was blowing. The storms are the things that threaten our well-being in life. And they are going to come. They always come. If anything, God prepares us for them. The truth is, the longer we live, the more storms you and I are going to face. Let me say that again one more time. The longer you live, the more challenges you are going to face. One of the reasons, I've said this before and I'll say it again, no don't want to get very old. It's the longer you live, the longer the challenges you're going to have. That's another way of looking at it. Now, the other way I look at it is, you know what? I can't wait to get out of this mess and go on to my eternity, where there's no pain, no hospitals. I'm never going to get sick. You know, eat a piece of cake or a piece of pie, and, you know, it forms 2 inches on your waistline, you know. I don't know what we're going to be eating on the other side, but we're not going to have any of that stuff. And so that's another reason I'm looking forward to getting out of this place and getting away from this earth. Are you listening to me? But another reason I don't want to get old is because, you know what, the longer you are on this earth, the more challenges you're going to have. I love old people. I really do. I have a great deal of respect for older people. I just don't want to be one. Where people are, you know, they're there on every day helping me wipe my mouth and giving me a bath. Uh-uh. I want to be able to do this thing for myself like I'm doing right now. Are you with me? Again, I have no idea what God has in store for me. I have no idea what God has in store for you. But my point is, the longer you live on this earth, the more challenges you're going to face. That's just the way it is. You remember 1998? It was quite a year of natural disasters for the state of Florida. Some of you guys moved from Florida because of all the storms and all the tornadoes and the hurricanes. I mean, that year was actually a record year in terms of they'd never seen those kind of storms in 200 years. You remember El Nino? That was when we learned that what was. It was in 1998. It started with Tropical Storm Alex. And I don't know if you realize this. They always name those, those hurricanes after people. And they will always start at A. And they'll just keep going down. They went that year in 1998 from A all the way to N. There were that many hurricanes. Like I said, it started with Alex. Then there was Bonnie, Charlie, Danielle, Earl, Francis, Georges, Hermine, then big one, Ivan. That's the one everybody remembers. Jean, Carl, Lisa, Mitch, and then finally Nicole. Some of you ran from Florida because of that. Say, I'm moving up north. I'm tired of this stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Now, a lot of people are still living in Florida. I love Florida. I love going to Florida every once in a while, but I'm not sure I want to live there. Because of the amount of hurricanes that come over, you never know where they're coming from. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, Florida is a beautiful place. I went to school there. What I'm saying is, you know, year in and year out, they have a lot of storms and challenges. And people in Florida are used to it. I mean, they have that thing down to a science. Especially now with, you know, being able to forecast the path of the hurricane and everything. And you see people boarding up their windows. And I mean, they got it down. I just don't want to do that. Okay, now we've got to board up the windows and then we've got to go somewhere. So, So I looked on the map. Okay, where is it where, you know, we don't get storms and there are no earthquakes and stuff. You know, Georgia seems very nice. And praise God, we don't get a lot of storms around here. You know, some people living in the middle of the country, they have tornadoes come through that place. I mean, it's like, wow, this is challenging. But those things exist because those are the storms in our life we have to deal with. Sometimes for us, it's a financial setback. Sometimes it's the passing of a loved one. Sometimes the end of a relationship. But those things are going to be there. But God has given us his word so that we can rely on him. Amen? Amen? It is easy to assume the character of a Christian. To live the Christian life daily is an entirely different thing. It's easy for me to say, you know what, I'm a disciple of Jesus. But the question is, am I obeying the will of God? Am I doing the will of God? Am I practicing the Bible? The Bible talks about this in James chapter 1, verse 22. It said, do not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it. I mean, we just sang the song a few minutes ago, trust and obey. I know we don't like that word. But it's funny, we expect our kids to obey us. There's not a parent in here who's just, well, my kids can do anything they want. If you're that kind of parent, the elders and I need to talk to you today. Because you're going to pay a huge price for that attitude. But I don't believe there's anybody in that mindset. We expect our kids to obey us. Guess what? God, our Heavenly Father, expects us, His children, to obey Him. We can't say to the kids, hey, you need to obey me. Sit down there. And then we're not doing what God says. Are you with me? Obedience to the word. Living out the word. You see, it's not enough to just believe in Jesus. You know, in James chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible tells us even demons profess Jesus. They know who Jesus is. Oh, I believe in Jesus. That's not what I asked you. Even demons believe in Jesus. The question is, are we living out the word? The Bible is what gives us direction throughout our lives. Written by the Creator Himself. The instructions are very simple and they're straightforward. They are not complicated. The question is, we have a choice whether we're going to live by them or not. And whatever choice you make, there will be consequences. If you live according to the scriptures, you will reap the benefits of it. Is it easy? No. But you will reap the benefits of it. And if you don't, you alone will suffer the consequences. And you will suffer those consequences. You can mark that one down. And to use my phrase, you can take that one to the bank. That is what is going to happen. We have a choice. The thing I love about it, it has tons of practical advice on every stage of life. It really does. Jesus said it this way also in Luke chapter 6, in verse 46, the same account we just read. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Now look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we're talking about obeying God here. In Romans chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. There it is again. He says, it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law. It is those who are living according to the scriptures. Amen? Those are the people that the Bible will declare righteous before God. So the question we always need to ask ourselves is, am I a doer of the word? Am I living out the scriptures? Church, let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not. You and I need to make a conscious decision every single day to obey the Bible. You know, for me, I can't believe November is over. I had such a great time praying and just reading the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And I prayed all this stuff you gave to me. And I know God has already started answering some of them. Amen? And I will continue to pray. But I can honestly tell you, I did not miss television. I really didn't. You know, I remember thinking yesterday, you know, I was fasting. I started with the fast and I was fasting every week. And I ended up yesterday with fasting also. And I remember thinking, oh, am I just going to go back and, you know, watch all this stuff I used to watch? I'm like, no, I really don't want to. Because just spending this entire month just being in tune with God and hearing God's voice for me, like I'd never done in a long time, it was worth every minute. Amen. And just reading the word and letting it convict me. And over the last, I don't know, several weeks, I've had to sit down with different brothers in this room and just talk about how I was feeling towards them and different things I was holding in. And it's been great just getting it all out. Where did that come from? From obeying the scriptures. They say, you know what? I can't let this continue. I got to obey what the Bible teaches. I remember several weeks ago calling up the Rouse. My wife and I were having some kind of disagreement. And I said, you know what? Could you guys come on in and help? Came, and it was very helpful. And I'll never forget, Bishop referred to one of those scriptures this morning that Mark left me with in Ephesians chapter 4. says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And believe it or not, my whole life, that's all I've thought about, that part. That I shouldn't let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth. But that's not all. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except what is helpful in building others up. And here's the kicker. According to their needs. According to the other person's needs. Not mine. And thinking to myself, you know what? Consciously, every single day, not only watching what I'm saying, but watching how I'm saying it. To make sure that it's according to Sarah's needs. It was very challenging. But it was very good for me. And I'm not just doing that for the month of November. I am continuing. I need to continue. Are you with me? And many times I would sit there and just pause. Okay, how do I need to say this? Prior to that, I would just blurt it out. Now, I wasn't cursing or anything like that. I've never cursed at my wife, and I never will. I'd rather die. But I know the things that I utter is not always building her up. But I had to start paying careful attention to that just one verse. Are you with me? Very, very important. It's all about obeying the scriptures. Am I going to obey God or not? That's the issue. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we think, well, you know, because this person did this to me, or this person didn't do this, or they treated me this way, all of a sudden, that gives us a license to sin. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I don't see that in the scriptures anywhere. If you haven't figured this out yet, maybe hear me this morning. The only person you can change is you. You are going to be extremely frustrated if your attitude is, you know what? Man, my husband needs to change. My wife needs to change. You're missing the point. You think God doesn't see them? You think God doesn't see what they say and how they're acting? But you need to be righteous no matter what. God will deal with your spouse. I promise you. He sees what's going on. He hears them. He even knows what they're thinking. But I think sometimes we give in to sin and say, well, my husband treated me this way, so I'm going to be this way. No, you can't. That's not discipleship. You need to remain godly no matter what. You say, how's that possible? Look at Jesus. The perfect man, when they hurled the insults at him, he never once retaliated. I've said this when I say it again. I'm thankful I'm not Jesus. Because there ain't no way people are going to be taunting me and saying all kinds of stuff. I'm going to toast you right there. I'm going to show you I'm God. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. I'm going to say, you want some of this? I'm going to show you. Not only am I going to wipe you, I'm going to wipe out your entire family. You say, well, Richard, you're mean. Hey, I'm a wretched sinner without the Holy Spirit and without the Bible. I don't know about you. I'm just telling you, left to my own devices, without God and the Holy Spirit, I am messed up. And if we want to be honest, that's the way we all are. That without God and God's Spirit, all of us, on our best days, we're a mess. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. But Jesus is the example. We have no license to be ungodly. Again, how are things going in our parenting? What standard are we using? You know, it's so interesting. Even this morning, during the break, I was coming out of the bathroom. One of the kids, he said, Mr. Richard, why do people call you Mr. Richard? Are you rich? I said, no, I'm not rich. I said, but he said, why did they call you Mr. Richard? I said, well, the reason is you got to call me Mr. Richard is because I'm old enough to be your father. And I said, you wouldn't call your dad by his first name, would you? He said, no, I wouldn't. I said, right. I said, so you can't call me by my first name. That would be rude because I'm old enough to be your dad. And I said, that's the reason why if anybody's older than you, you got to say Mr. This or Miss That. And he goes, okay, I get it. But see, we got to be teaching our kids. We got to teach our kids to respect authority. If they're not going to learn it in your house, where do you think they're going to learn it? When they get out in the world, it's going to be brutal. I mean, when they get their first job and they walk onto the job and they don't say good morning or hello to the boss or supervisors, you think they're going to keep that job for very long? Because we didn't see this when we're interviewing this kid. And depending on what kind of business, you may say, you know, we're going to let you go. Because they're not going to put up with that nonsense. But where did it start? It started in the home, and you didn't teach those kids. We can't do that. Amen? Amen. I'm not saying we should be violent with our kids and spanking them all the time or whatever. No, you got to pick your battles. You got to have a few items that, you know what, these are no-go areas in this family. Alan talked about one of them this morning, lying. We don't lie in this house. We always tell the truth. If you lie, you are going to get a serious spanking. Now, you're going to remember it, and you're going to tell your grandkids about it. That was Sarah's nice attitude. And it happened a few times. And my kids still remember to this day. Because it was an episode. One of those you have to go away and pray. And then come back. I say, now come on in here. What happened? Tell me the truth. And then they confess. Yes, we lied. I say, yeah. Now you know what's about to happen. Okay? This is going to be a serious whooping. You are going to tell your kids about this one. Because you are also going to teach them never to lie. They get your whooping, put my arms around them, tell them I love them. They go cry a little bit, then I go back. Hey, I love you. You know that, don't you? Amen? But again, I use that as an example. How's our parenting? God has given us these kids for a reason. To raise them up to love him and to know him. It's work. It's a lot of work. Again, that's why I counsel, you know, young marriage and whatever. I mean, I want to have a kid. I want to have a baby. It's like, hold on. Are you ready for this? Because they don't remain that little, cute, little person for very long. I mean, they grow up. And they're in your house for 18 years at least. Now, in today's economy, they get to come back. That's the truth. So all I'm saying is, you know, it's a lot of work. But you got to give thought into it. Say, hey, let's just have a baby. Are you kidding me? And this book has all the answers in terms of preparing us to be parents and how we need to be parents. The same thing for our marriages. You know, a lot of us in here, we're married. When was the last time you did a study, okay, your wife or your husband, when was the last time you went off on your own and looked up every single passage in the Bible that talks about your duties and your responsibilities as a husband or wife? And say, you know what, I got to start living this out again. That's what the Bible is talking about. It's all here. It teaches us how to resolve conflict. It says, before the sun goes down, and like Alan was saying, you don't wait till 6 and say, okay, now let me go resolve this. That's not what we're talking about. Resolving things quickly. You say, well, he was at fault, so I'm waiting for him. Where's the humility? So you know what? I need to be righteous instead of being right. Can we talk about this? Can we resolve this? Because this is not bringing glory to God. Are you with me? It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. But we need to be grateful for having God's word. That it guides us. It helps us. And so my question is, what standards are you living by? Are you really a disciple or are you just a superficial Christian? Profession is no substitute for obedience to God. It never was. You know, people often ask me again, you know, why am I in this fellowship? Let me tell you something. This church is not perfect by any means. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome. Okay? You're seated with a bunch of sinners. That's what we are. We never claim to be perfect. But like I've said before, and I'll say it again, this is the closest thing I have found of people truly trying to live out the scriptures on a daily basis. That's why I'm here. And that's why I'm going to die here. There is nothing that can be done in this fellowship that's going to make me leave, go somewhere else. Are you kidding? I have seen the mess that's out there. I came from that mess. You came from that mess. Are we always going to get it right? No. But there's nothing that's going to make me leave. This was where I found Christ, and this is where I'm going to die. I am going to be around to help fix it. Because there's no perfect church. If you find one, please do not join, because the day you join, that church becomes imperfect. The testing is coming. They are bound to happen. Some of us are right in the midst of it right now. It is going to come. But God says, you know what? If you're practicing the word, your house will not collapse. Your life will not collapse. Amen? Amen. We must continue to dig deeper in the word of God. Amen. Write these verses down. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. John 14, 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. I love the Bible. It is so practical. It is so easy to read. I am so thankful that we can own ours. We can read it. A lot of us, we have all kinds of versions. Many of us now, we have it on computer and on our phones and all that kind of stuff. That's wonderful. I'm glad your computer is on your phone. I'm glad your Bible is on your phone. I'm glad your Bible is on your iPad. The question is, not only are you reading it, but are you practicing it? That's what I want to know. Amen. So you can have that in your pocket all you want. The question is, are you taking the time to read it and then doing what it's saying? The Bible says when we do, and when you and I do that, we're going to be prosperous. We're going to be successful. It's not talking financially, okay? Just in life. The Bible is awesome. The Bible works. Amen? Amen. It's wonderful. Now turn to Luke chapter 9, and I'm about to end here. Luke chapter 9. We're very familiar with this passage in verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must. He doesn't say he should. He doesn't say he should try to. He must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Again, very simple, straightforward command. He says, you want to be my disciple? You must take up your cross daily. Not once a week, not twice a week, not 5 days out of seven. Every single day and follow him. Amen? That's what it says. I think about it this way. I just read the verse. If anyone will come after me, he must. Must is my emphasis. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, we all have crosses to bear. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. We all have challenges. We all have different things that we're going through. And that's from God. Okay? That's not from your spouse or your husband or your kid. Everybody's got theirs. Are you with me? But just as we must carry our crosses daily. I showed this many, many years ago, but I'll show it again. We're all carrying our cross. You got yours, I got mine. Okay? Mine is heavy enough. You know what? Buddy, you better carry yours. Because I'm not strong enough to carry two crosses. You all need to carry your own cross. And they're going ahead. You can see this guy. We're focusing on one guy. Everybody's carrying a cross. They're all going in the same direction. And he goes, Lord, it's too heavy. Please cut it down a little. And we do that. We complain. We tell God, it's too hard. We do. We're lying. We don't. And God says, okay, fine. You want to do it? Go ahead. He lets you do it because, remember, we got choice. And so the guy cuts it off. Now he's feeling good about himself. Now he's not dragging anymore. He picks it up. And now he's whistling. There's a bounce in his step. Okay, you can even see he's caught up to those guys. And he's beginning to pass some of them as they head in the same direction. Lord, he stops again. Cut it down a little more. I'll be able to carry it better. See, now he's trying to reason with the Almighty. As if God doesn't know everything. Again, God allows him to cut some of it off. Lord, thank you so much. He even says thank you. He said, you know, I prayed about it. And God said it was okay. And then, Lord, thank you. We do this. I've heard Christians say to me, well, I prayed about this. What does that mean? Seriously. When the Bible tells you something different. So now he's rocking now. As a matter of fact, he's passing a bunch of guys now. He's just whistling. He's just going. Uh-oh. Now there's a chasm in the road. You see, all that stuff he was carrying was for a reason that he couldn't see. All the challenges you and I face on a daily basis, there's a reason for it. Remember, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the end. He sees what you're going to encounter. You may not understand it right there. So instead of complaining, you need to ask him to give you strength to continue to carry on. Because I promise you, one day you are going to need that cross. You are going to need that situation. And he gets there and he's in serious trouble. You can see it. Okay? The other guys get there. Let's use this bridge and cross over. And that's exactly what they did. And they passed him right by. We're laughing, I'm telling you. Some of us, this is the mistake we're making in life. And you're going to pay a heavy price. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but you will. I promise you. Because God will not be mocked. There's a reason for everything you and I go through. There's a reason why it says we must deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow him. Amen. There are no shortcuts. He tried to take a shortcut. Look at him now. He's in trouble. He wished he hadn't done that. And bam, he's left behind. And at the end of the day, he's the only one that's going to suffer. All those guys are gone. Notice they cannot help him. You see, everything we go through in life, there's a reason for it, brothers and sisters. But you see, the question is, are we grateful for the word? And so I want to leave you with this passage. Excuse me. Can you go in my full screen, please? Just click. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That is a promise that you can think about every single day. We always need to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want to encourage you between now and the new year to sit down and make a list of 100 things that you're thankful for. Just 100. It comes out to about 3 or 4 a day. And then I want you to pray through those things. Sit down. Between now and December 31st, write down a list of 100 things that you are thankful for, that you are grateful for. And then start praying through those things. Because we serve a good God. I hope you're grateful for the word. One day, we get to see the word face to face. It's going to be an exciting time. God bless.